sweat socks and made no noise. When they arrived in the first basement, the doors slid open. Adams went to work with the snake. Rap and Adams were working.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Seville. Hi, Seville.
Hey. Bernadette. I'll see you. Hello.
Dino.
Hey, Dino.
Hi there.
Morning, Quan.
Hello, everybody.
Morning, Scott.
Good afternoon or evening, whatever it is.
Hello, Scott.
It's morning somewhere.
New Zealand.
Quan. Hi, Basia. Hi, Terry.
Basia. Hi, Quan.
Hi, yeah.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah.
Hello.
You know.
Hello, hello.
Are you waiting on anybody?
We've got everybody except Elise Stewart.
I didn't get an email from her today. I'll give her just a few minutes.
Okay.
So how's everybody doing?
Okay.
It's a beautiful day today.
It is. I figure we're going to have spring for about another 5 to 10 days before it jumps into summer.
We get to go outside nowadays, so that's pretty nice.
It is.
Well, it was really nice this morning walking out there. Out on a mesa, and there wasn't much wind. That was so nice.
It's windy now in Santa Fe.
Yeah, it's windy now here.
You went at the right time. And Bernadette, how are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Just keep hanging, yes. Keep hanging.
It was a difficult day today, but that's okay.
Looks like you have new glasses.
No, I need some. They told me I can't get new glasses till I have cataracts, so I need to have surgery.
I see.
Ooh.
Well, I did it, and it worked well.
Good. Yeah. So until then, I take them on and I take them off. And I think even after that, I'll need a bifocal.
You might be surprised, though. You know, a lot of people don't.
That's good. I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Say, Terry, I count 7.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, there's an 8th person. Oh, that must be me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was on some other kind of thing. It wasn't a Zoom a week or so ago, and you could see everybody there, but you couldn't see yourself. Mm. And I didn't know how to, and I had no idea how to fix that or adjust it. And it was a whole different system than the Zoom. And it's like, oh, Maybe I don't need to see myself.
Could it have been Teams?
Microsoft Teams? Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, because I can see our group, but I can't see myself. I mean, I could see myself in a little tiny square on the bottom, but not a large
one. Yeah, I don't even remember what it was, but I didn't really need to see myself. It's just kind of nice to see yourself just to make sure that, you know, you're not doing something or looking horrible or something when everyone else can see you that way and you don't even realize it.
That's right.
Hello.
Can also be a distraction.
Mm. Well, it's odd when you're talking and you can't see yourself on the screen. It's like, this is weird.
So, Bill, can you hear us?
He's muted.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave the meeting. Diane's having a medical emergency. I got to go pick her up.
Okay. My goodness. She's okay.
Yeah. I think she's having a reaction to her second shot.
Oh, no.
But she's not doing well.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh,
good luck. Nice to see you, Seville.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. So I can't see Bill, and I think he's muted as well.
He can hear, but
I can't see him.
He says he can't.
He's muted. On. Yes, he's muted and his video is off.
He's in the chat.
Yeah.
Harry, is it possible for you to unmute him or?
I tried.
There he is. I see his picture now.
Okay. Bill, do you know how to unmute at the bottom there?
Be on the bottom left-hand corner, all the way to the corner.
There we go. I think we're good now. Say something, Bill. Hello.
Hi, Bill.
Maybe not.
Lester can't hear you.
He says his connection is unstable up here in the mountains, but he's doing fine. Yes, I can hear, but I can't seem to get my mic to work. Sorry, if I can unmute, I will. Very good then. So it's about 10 after, and so I think we want to go ahead and call this meeting to order. I'd like to welcome you and thank you guys for all showing up today. It helps us make some decisions, important decisions that need to be made today. So we're going to start with the New Mexico State Convention, our 2021 via Zoom. So we need to decide whether or not to change anything about the financial arrangements surrounding the convention. So right now we have it's free for our members. It's kind of one of the privileges of being a member with New Mexico State Poetry Society. And we are charging a $20 fee for non-members. So that has been one of the questions that has been brought up to me within the last few weeks. So we need to decide as a team and as a group if we want to keep that.
I think it's too late to be changing anything about a convention that's going to be happening so soon. That's my personal feeling. And I feel like, you know, I don't know if anybody has anybody paid the $20 to come?
So far, the people who have an interest in coming have been willing to join the society.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
That's right.
That's the way it should be. I mean, it's a convention. The convention isn't for the whole state. It's really for the members. And any kind of convention like that is a thing that's for members, I think. I've never been to a convention that hasn't been for the members.
So are we all in agreement on that? Let me see if Bill has anything to say here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. That sounds fine. Not to change anything.
Let's do it that way.
But we haven't talked about the other side of things.
Do you want to make two? Let's see what's on the next on the agenda. Answer any questions that we have about.
No, there was another question about convention.
Oh, okay.
One of the other questions is, should we pay our honorariums? So when I initially went out there to find people to be in our program, I asked for volunteers. I had two people question the volunteers, and I said we were asking for volunteers at that time. They did come back and volunteer with an email reply saying they volunteer. But people are questioning, well, we have this amount of money in our bank account, so why are we charging?
Charging what?
Our $20 fee for our non-members.
Oh, I don't see that that's connected with our treasury.
Mm. The question is also asked, you know, if that, why are we not paying any honoraria given that we have the means?
That's worth discussing, I think.
I think that, you know, in past conventions, there have been honorariums for people who've done, I know there have been for people who've done workshops or maybe a primary, you know, speech or something, but I don't think we've ever paid poets just to come in and read two poems or so.
So who are you thinking, who would you give the honoraria to?
The one person that's questioned it is our keynote. And she's got a 45-minute spot.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I would. That's how I feel when I ask somebody to come in and do a workshop for our chapters. Like, well, it seems to me that if I'm asking somebody to come in and give up all this time and prepare something, that they should get paid something. I mean, I usually only ask, I have never asked for more than $50, and some of them clearly charge way more than that to do a 2-hour workshop. But people have always been okay with that, especially if I'm asking somebody to come in from out of town. That's a whole nother level. Of course, it's a little different during COVID, but I think that the poets doing presentations of, you know, any length of time probably should get something.
So we have
the workshops and the keynote for sure.
Like those three.
Okay, and now we have to decide what would that honorarium be.
What would it be if it was in person and involved travel and time away from home? What did it used to be?
Well, we would provide their meals for them when they came into the convention. We would give them their convention free for free. And if it was room and board, you know, we would say the room and board, but we also made arrangements with the hotel to get some kind of fixed deal. So how did we do it last year, Terry? Can you help us out with that one? Not last year, 2019. But that was actually a national convention. It wasn't a state convention.
We haven't had a normal state convention since 2018 because 2020 was delayed until October and then was virtual. We didn't know it was going to be virtual. So, and we invited the Poet Laureate of the State of New Mexico and the Poet Laureate of Albuquerque, and then the members of the board were featured, and we did not pay any honoraria for that. That was in October, which had been postponed from April. And in 2019, as Bernadette said, our regular convention didn't happen in April because we were doing the national convention in June. Our regular convention happened in September, mostly because we had to conduct elections. And it was a potluck and an open mic, and there were no real features. So there was nobody paid for that either. So if you go back to 2018, then we paid $50 honoraria for the people who conducted workshops. We did not have a keynote speaker. We had some panelists. They were all small press.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we gave them free admission, I believe, to the convention, and we fed them. And we charged for a convention, mostly because we had to feed people, and we had a lot of copies to make for workshops and things like that. So that's the whole history that I know of that goes back to 2018. I did not plan the 2017 convention. Wasn't an officer, wasn't on the board then. So that's all I know.
I think the gist that I got from the conversation regarding the non-member, if I might include that at this time, is that some of the presenters were questioning why we were charging for non-member, which left me with the impression that they may have friends or relatives who might want to attend, and they found it a bit disconcerting that their family or friends would have to pay $20. After speaking briefly with a board member, I realized that the convention typically does charge for non-member because it is a member event. And in this case, in this year, people are opting to join in lieu of just tossing the $20 for non-member registration. This way they get to take advantage of anything else that may occur for members and go ahead and join. So I like that idea very much. I think that that we didn't completely discuss the non-member member as far as some of those keynote people that were concerned about that. I thought to myself, well, if they wanted family or friends to come and didn't want them to pay, they could just provide the link to them. We would never know. But instead, it turned into a big conversation that warranted this meeting tonight. So I think we have some disgruntled presenters in regards to that matter.
But I thought all the presenters had already volunteered.
Well, that was my impression as well. I think after they caught hold of some information that we had some funds available, they started to question why they were being asked to pay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you a bit.
Can hear me, yeah. Okay, I have to speak because I have to say, the presenters who I contacted at the request of you folks believed from the beginning that there was going to be either a fee or an honorarium paid. They did not volunteer. I don't know about the poets who you contacted separately. I can't speak for them, but I can speak for the Taos Poet Laureate, who's been in touch with me and said she asked for $500. It seems like a reasonable expense for a 45-minute presentation. Did not volunteer. She has not received an email back settling that matter, and she resents the fact that her name and her image are being put up on the website without this matter being settled. So I recommend that this matter be settled with her. All right. Bob Holman normally gets $500. I told your president that Bob Holman wanted $500. She said she would talk with him, negotiate. She put him down as a volunteer. He's not volunteering. You know, I think he would negotiate for a lower fee. $200 would be a reasonable offer. But he is a very famous man. He's world famous. You know, you can't use his name and his reputation.
I think some of these arrangements were made when you had volunteered to chair the conference. You had made these arrangements with them, or at least entertained them. Since you've taken yourself off of that position, then I think that's when Terry took over, Terry and Bernadette, and started conversing with these
people. Why did Terry and Bernadette take my contacts and change the arrangements? That is the problem.
The one thing that I would like to say is that the conference has not happened. If we decide that we do not want to pay $500 or $250 to some of these people, then they don't have to attend. They don't have to present. You know, we're not being forced to do something outside of what we think is reasonable, just because you think it's reasonable or something you promised them. So I think another note is that if we're going to pay honorariums to some of these people, then maybe we should pay them all.
Otherwise, that's a very good idea, because performing poets get paid. They don't do shows for people for free. And every other organization pays people who are invited and asked to perform.
These are not amateurs.
These are professionals. You need to pay them. I'm going to stop talking because you're making me rather angry.
Well, it's okay. You have to understand, you can be angry.
Hey, Dino, if I send a friend who's a carpenter over to work on your house, and I say, okay, work this out with Dino, what you're going to get paid, and you turn around and tell him he's a volunteer, and then send me a letter telling me, oh, it's great, this guy volunteered. And then the guy comes back to me and says, no, I didn't volunteer. I said, I want to negotiate the money, but I get a certain amount of money. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I do, and I can respect that. I just think that some of this got a little out of hand with you making the original arrangements and then coming in expecting us to honor those arrangements. So that's kind of where we are now. We do want to be fair, and we want to be respectful to whomever you spoke with. I think that's really what we're trying to settle here today, because I think that $500 or even $250 might be a lot. Granted, respectfully for these poets, it's not something that the New Mexico State Poetry Society has done in the past, is get some of these high profile people to read poetry for us. I mean, so I think we're kind of trying to find a place in the middle where we can accommodate these folks that have already said they would join us on the 24th. We just have to be fair about what we're doing for each of them and those arrangements all around, that we're not providing honorariums just for some and not for others. And we just want to be fair. And that's really why we're meeting today. The issue about the funds available in the treasury, a lot of that, I think maybe Terry can elaborate for us, but I think some of, you know, the money that we're pulling in from membership is really not enough to run the society. Although this year has been different because the expenditures haven't been used, because we really haven't been meeting in person. There hasn't been any food or any of that type of thing. So I think there is an opportunity for us to maybe look at some of these questions that you bring up. We're not definitely discounting that at all. I think the majority of the money that we've brought in has gone towards building that website of ours. But if you need some more information on that, you know, maybe Terry can elaborate a little bit for us so you feel more comfortable with what's actually going on and where the money is being kept and that kind of thing. Terry, you want to say a little bit?
Not sure. I'm reading what's in the chat here, that from Basia saying, let's divide off the non-member question from the presenters. I think that's reasonable. And then Bill has written, it looks bad for the NMSPS to collect an admission fee and not pay the performers. And
I can respect that.
I think the problem came down to, you know, in the past, we've had a set amount of money given to the committee that did the convention, and they knew they had so much to work with. And they divided it up, you know, among the workshops, the printing for the publicity, the equipment, whatever they needed to do. And we didn't have a person in charge this year. So people just, I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know who was really supposed to be in charge of authorizing any funds to anybody.
I think initially we had allotted $500 for Bill's committee, and then things just turned around rather quickly. And I think at that time we should have met as we're doing tonight, so we could all come together and decide what we were going to do at that point. But we do apologize for not doing that. We kind of realized that we didn't have a committee any longer or a chair. So the four of us on the elected board proceeded to try to put things together to create some kind of convention, even though we had just had one in October, because some of the members enjoy the April convention. So I think we put together things pretty quickly, and we were just scrambling to get everything together because we knew elections were coming up. So I think this is a good opportunity to revisit some of that stuff, you know?
Well, as you might have guessed, I'm kind of fiscally conservative, and I don't like driving funds into the ground for any organization. And one of the reasons this year that I've not done anything is, I mean, I've not asked for any funds this year for our chapter. Instead, I'm doing stuff all myself. I mean, and we're not doing a room fee. So there's that, not that. We're not doing the Poets Picnic until perhaps fall. We don't even have a date on that yet, depending on what the city and state decide to do. So, you know, there's a lot of funds that I'm trying to not spend, so that it stays with it, because I know that our membership is way down. When I joined here 6 years ago, we had well over 150 members. We had a chapter in Taos with a whole bunch of members. Santa Fe had 50 members at that time. I mean, there were a lot more activity and a lot more funds coming in.
Okay, can I talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Since the last board meeting in January, 51 people have renewed or joined the organization. It's suddenly, we're like back to life in a big way. And our dues coming in are over our budget, we have over 100 members now. And that's a good thing. And also, as you said, that we are not spending the money that we budgeted this year on a lot of fronts. I just wanted to share a screen and I'll show you what's going on. So can you see where I am?
Yes.
With my arrow? Yeah.
Yes.
So we had budgeted $2,000 of revenue from dues based on 100 people at $20 of paid people. We always have some people that we comp. Anyway, but we're running well ahead of that. We had two people become life members this year. And like I said, since January, we've had almost as many people join or renew since January as we did between, August and January, which is just amazing. It's been just amazing. And I credit all the chapter chairs. You guys have been doing a wonderful job getting members and getting members to renew and getting members to join. We had originally planned to have a $1,200 budget for convention that was going to be matched with $1,200 of expenses, but that reflected an in-person convention. And the idea that we wanted to keep the convention revenue neutral. You know, if we spent it, we had to get it back. That changed when we realized we were going to have a virtual convention again. We have to have our convention in April per our bylaws. We have to have a convention. It got delayed from last April down to October, which is why we ended up with two conventions very close together. Anyway, so in January, we thought that $500 was a reasonable budget. And maybe if some people...
Hello?
I'm sorry.
He's on the phone. He just needs to mute himself.
Oh, okay. So I think he did. So that we realized that maybe we couldn't, maybe we could recoup $500 if we spent $500 and then keep it revenue neutral. So Bill was given a budget of $500 when he became chair of the convention committee. But then since that happened, we've continued to not spend money and we've continued to get members and get members renewing. So our income picture for this year is looking pretty good. Let's see. So we're looking at, we've collected $3,500 and we've only spent $2,300. Okay, so instead of, and where we had projected to be spending $2,500 more than we took in other words, to use our accumulated savings to improve the website and to fund things like the Poets Picnic and the contests we sponsor and the other things that are in the budget here. Many of those things are not happening. So we find ourselves in a very good position financially, in the reverse position of what we thought we would be doing. We thought we would be taking down savings. So even if we did compensate all our presenters to some degree, we would still possibly be only $2,500 down as we had budgeted. It's just it would be spent in a different way than we had originally projected. We had originally expected that we would pay $1,500 of chapter support, you know, for presenters and rooms and things like that. And only 150 of that has been used. We expected to pay $250 for the Poets Picnic. Now that's not going to happen. So it doesn't look like we're going to spend any of that. Poetry in the classrooms, not happening. Speak with the Poet may yet spend their money to publish a small chapbook. And now, every year we send our president to national convention and we pay expenses up to $1,000 for airplane, hotel and everything. However, there's not going to be an in-person national convention either. It's going to cost $45 to send the president to national convention. Excuse me? Yeah, so we did spend most of the national dues money and we've slightly overspent on the website and we'll probably need to rebudget some more money for that. We had expected to spend almost $7,000. We've spent so far $2,300. So we're being very fiscally conservative already. We do have money in the bank. This is our money in the bank down here. We have almost $8,000 in savings. About $8,000 between checking and savings. I'm showing a negative balance in checking because I haven't updated for a transfer that I did today. Sorry. I was with the new membership, incoming membership chair all day today, all afternoon working on teaching her how to do membership. And she's coming along very nicely. But yes, we do have money. and more money than we had last year at the beginning of the fiscal year. So we could decide to use that money and pay presenters for convention. Personally, I feel like they are two slightly separate questions, paying presenters and charging for non-members. And that kind of came about because, as Basia said, you know, having a non-member fee makes people in the group feel like they're getting something from their member dollars. And so I personally feel that we should keep that. And it has been getting us some members. And on the other side, I also feel that we should pay something for our presenters. We have a lot of them, but we should talk about how much we can afford to spend.
Terry, do you have a summary of the program so we have an idea about how many people are participating and might fall into a category of possible honoraria?
Okay, hang on 1 second, let me get that.
I knew you'd have it.
It's on the page. It's gonna take me a second, I'm sorry.
Okay. I think it will be helpful.
Yeah, it's definitely, oh, wait a minute, I had a better place where I have it better. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe you just know the numbers.
Yeah. Just hang on one. Give me 1 second.
I have the list here if you need.
Yeah, that's. I was looking for my list. Okay, here's the list. Here's the list with on the timeline. Make it a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Everybody in yellow is a presenter. Okay. And there are two of the presenters are doing work. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4.
14. I count 14.
14 people. Of those 14 people, we have one keynote and two workshop presenters. And then Bill Nevins mentioned the keynote speaker is the Taoist poet laureate that he mentioned in the chat. That's who that is. Of the rest of the people, we have Amit Daya Badshah is the person from India. Bob Holman is the world famous poet. The rest of them are either poets laureate of New Mexico in some fashion, or local people except for Sandra Yanon. I don't know where she's from.
Seattle.
She's from Washington State.
Okay, I haven't read her bio in a while.
So we've got one keynote, two workshops, and two people that are international.
That's correct. Yeah.
I think so. I would ask Bill if that's correct.
And one person from out of state, another person from out of state, the Sandra person is from out of state.
Right.
We're not.
Well, if you, that means we have 9 people who are sort of expected to be with us on our side, working for us. And then we have 5 other people, or possibly 6.
Yeah, I count 6.
Okay, 6, including Sandra Yanone.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just gonna say this. If you gave those 6 people, the 6 special people, $200, you'd already be at $1,200. And I just, I don't know how anybody, what is the expectation for the expense of honoraria?
I don't know.
Sounds like a lot to me.
It seems like a lot to me too.
Yeah. Bill says $100 each would work.
That would be 14 times 100. That would be $1,400.
I'm thinking that these top tier folks, with due respect, we could pay them, $100, if you will. And then I think that it would go without saying that the other people should get maybe $50, even though they had originally opted to volunteer. I mean, I don't know if you want to just not pay the volunteers anything and then just pay these top tier folks $100 a piece.
That works perfectly in my mind. The 6 at $100 a piece is $600, and the 9, 8 or 9 at 50 each comes to 450, and we're just in the range of $1,000. Now, I don't really know about what people do when the poet laureates read their poetry. I don't know what the convention, that is with a small c, what the convention is for their performances. Mm-hmm. It might be part of their job.
Right, right. Typically a poet laureate, in my understanding, can charge after they step down. I think their year of service is of service. But I'm pretty limited on my knowledge with that. So,
okay. Does everybody still need to see what's on the screen, or can we look at each other now?
The latter.
Okay.
Now, if we do decide to pay these people, it seems for some of these folks that Bill speaks highly of, with due respect, will $100 be enough for them? And especially in light of the few that have made comment about if you're not providing the honorarium, then why can't people come in for free? So they are separate, but they're kind of linked in a sort of fashion. I hesitate to pay some and not everyone. That kind of feels uncomfortable for me, although we could also talk about just paying the top tier folks and allowing the other folks, like you mentioned a little bit ago, that it is part of their service. And some folks probably, did sign on as a volunteer. So maybe we're just looking at providing these top tier folks some honoraria.
I think what Bill put in the chat, he said top tier $100, others 50. That is a good plan. Basia had brought that as an idea too. I think that's a good idea. So I would say that would make me 3 of saying that. Then everybody gets something. All the presenters get something. And if they want to turn it back, they can turn it back. If they cannot accept an honorarium because...
Real bad, Terry.
Excuse me?
So are we saying then that the keynote and the 2 workshop people would get 100 each, and that would be 300, and then the other people would get $50 each, and that would be six people at 50 would be 300. Is that what you're saying?
No, there would be six people, six at 100 and eight at 50.
Six at 100. Oh, okay, not 50. And then what would the keynote and the workshop people get?
They're part of the $100 people.
So you're saying that the six, everybody would get $100 is what you're saying.
No.
What would the keynote speaker and the two workshop people get?
I put it in the chat.
I'm not seeing it.
Well, it says six.
Everyone. I'm seeing everyone. Oh, are you down? Is it down further? Okay. Okay.
That seems simple.
Yeah.
I like the simplicity.
And I think that Bill's comment there is true. Some people, I mean, I have been offered money for readings and for workshops before that I've always just donated back to the organization because I'm not in it for the money. I never went into poetry for money, thank God. But, you know, some people do survive on that, I guess. I don't know who, but I think that's reasonable.
And I think it's important to remember that an honorarium is a recognition of respect and service. It's no way a per diem or a payment for the amount of time because a keynote speaker in my imagination, she's the one who's going to put the most time in on it. It's an honor for her to speak with us. So we're not trying to recognize effort or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, Bill, I appreciate what you said, Bill, about the Taos Poetry Circus. The famous people returned the money, but they needed the honor of the honorarium.
My only concern is how we would give that money to people that are not stateside. You know, that's difficult to send your checking information, you know, out into the orbit like that. I think with the American Irish group that Bill so eloquently put together, we actually donated money to the society and they were able to impart that money over because they were making some type of international payment. So that would be my only concern for the society is that check floating out there with bank routing information. But if it's something we need to do, it's something we will just take a risk at doing. We won't know if these people want to accept it anyway. So that might be a moot point.
Bill says the only out of USA poet is Amit, and he has friends here that could receive a check for him.
Oh, that would be lovely.
That works for us.
Yeah.
That works then.
Okay.
Okay. Are we settled?
Just about.
Is that fair for every individual on the list? Have we missed somebody? I don't know.
I think Terry was breaking up when the final decision or allotment was spoken about, so I wasn't quite clear on what that would be.
Six times 100 and eight times 50.
That's 1,000.
So okay, that sounds fair to me. The only thing I would like to see is maybe that keynote get maybe 150 instead of 50.
The keynote's not getting 50.
No. I think they're in the category of getting 100.
That's correct.
Fair to allot an additional 50 for the keynote, since I think their time spent preparing and all would be possibly more than anyone else? Or should we just leave it as it is?
keynotes usually get more than anyone else at a convention.
That's what I was thinking. Even though the others may be just as big or, you know, a bigger draw.
But well, you know, a part of it is it takes a lot of time to prepare something. Whereas, you know, I could grab a book right here and read you two poems right now.
Would you consider that for the keynote?
Yes.
I would. Number on it. Okay. I think that's good.
Okay.
Put a number on it.
Yes.
I'm okay with the 150 for Catherine.
Okay.
Yes.
I like the idea. Thank you for all that. I like the idea of charging for non-member because then they will actually sign up. If we have any issue with that, with some of these presenters, maybe we could allot them a couple of complimentary people to come in. I don't know how you feel about that, just so we can get past that issue.
I'm not sure who the concern is about. Could we charge non-members only $10? We could charge whatever, you know. we chose 20 partly because that's the cost of a membership and to encourage people to become members.
Right.
But it was an arbitrary number.
I do think that the conference is worth, what we're charging. In the past, we have actually charged members for the convention, if you'll recall.
Yeah.
So it really...
We've always done that.
Yeah, so this year it becomes really a gift for them, if you will, for the members. I'm thinking that I like the idea of the $20 for non-member only because now they're part of the membership and they get benefit for the entire year and they may stay with us. I mean, if I like the, you know, the $10 also, but they may not sign up as a member and that may be the only time we see them.
You know, we could have a scholarship fund. And if a person identified himself as one who could not afford the $20 admission to the convention, but only $10, we put in another $10 for them. And that way we could leave non-members at $20, but on request, that could be reduced. I don't know that, to me, it's not a great idea because of the administrative headache, keeping track and people identifying themselves, but it may allow some people to attend the convention who don't have the cash.
Yeah, I think the administrative part is definitely something to consider.
I don't know if anybody, there have been only a few registrations for conventions so far. So the registration form could be slightly rewritten. It's not something that's easy for me to do. And, you know, I had to have Debbie Gutierrez's help, the computer consultant's help, at a cost, slight cost to us, to put that form together. But we could revise it. I will have my husband with me. I'll be running the Zoom, but I'm gonna make him, at least him and one other person who doesn't live here, a co-host. Mm-hmm. And one of those people could be in charge of checking who's coming in if we wanna be a stickler about it. You know, it's like letting people in if they have pre-registered and not letting them in if they haven't. It's also possible to do some comps if I'm not clear on whether there seem to be like two separate issues. One is to give comps to the presenters so that they can bring their friends in at no cost. And the other is to let everybody in at reduced rate, or people who need to come in at a reduced rate, which is possible. It's possible to do any of those things. It's not so, you know, it's not happening tomorrow, and it's all being done online. So it's not like I've got to write a bunch of letters or send a bunch of checks back.
Well, typically in the past, we have very few people who come in as non-members. So I think that, you know, that's something to consider as well.
Right, beyond the comps for the presenters. Another possibility would be to work through the chapters. If your chapter has someone, people who really need to be, well, let's say need to be comped, that'll get away of the, then they can speak to the chapter chairman.
If the chapter chairs are comfortable with that, that helps me a lot.
But if you're the chapter chair and everyone's in your chapter, they've already paid to be in the chapter.
Oh, yeah. If they're members, they're already comfortable for free.
So but who would be? Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, that might not be.
Well, somebody here knows someone who can't come to the convention because $20 is too much.
Why don't we ask the people that have made some mention in emails that they had a problem with charging it for the non-members? Maybe we could look at it that way and see who those, you know, if they want us to comp those people. You know, it would be a reader, a presenter, if you will. You know, I think I've seen two or three different emails about this particular topic. So it might not be need to be addressed on this level. I guess we're looking at either charging 10 or 20, or, you know, that is that pretty much what we're looking at? I don't know if we lost Bill, but.
Well, he's.
I think that's what we're looking at, yeah.
He asks in the chat, could we make it $10 admission for non-member adults? So he must know some.
I think to kind of tone down the, what we're going through with charging non-members at $10, I can meet you there. If that's what it would take to appease. And yeah. Like Bill said, maybe they'll join anyway.
Yeah, for $10 more, they can have a membership, so. Yeah, it's up to them. I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
Would that be too difficult for you to put in an extra line, Terry, to say, you know, $20 to be a member and become a membership and go attend for free? And then another section putting $10 just to attend the convention?
I can put in a line like that. Right now, the way it reads is there's like two options. And one is to pay $20 and just attend convention, or pay $20 and become a member. So
I honestly don't think we're going to get a whole lot of people anyway that aren't members already. So
right.
I don't
right.
think so either. I mean, in October we had between 30 and 40 people, which is already a lot for a convention that we've had except for the national convention. That's sort of our average.
And I think
I've attended.
And I think you're considered a member up until 23, is that correct? Years of age, so.
Yeah, we're talking about people who are 23 and over. I think it would cost us maybe $35 because the way the document is written, the way the form is written, it's some of it's in code, and I don't know how to do that yet. You know, I can maintain things on the website, but putting in something entirely new is sometimes difficult for me. So it would cost us another like $35 an hour of Debbie's time.
Didn't you want to mention something about asking the board if they would allocate some additional funds for that website while you have them here?
Yeah, I do need to do that as well. We are up against the limit in the budget for the website, and we are not finished. Can we just like call this question the convention stuff before I talk about this other thing?
Okay.
Well, now you want $35 to change the form Is that right? That seems reasonable.
Yeah. Well,
that's for the
convention. No, she wants more than that.
She wants to keep it separate.
It's very associated.
Let's decide about this question we're asking about member and non-member first.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what's on the floor is that we change the form to include $10, which would be an addition, which would cost us $35 to do that for Debbie. And then of course we're going to do the $100 per presenter, top tier presenter, and $150 for the keynote, and everyone else $50. And correct? I think we're all on the same page there. Okay.
So that's $1,035. Is that what you're asking for an okay on?
$1,050 for presenters and $35 to change the form. If we're going to do the $10 thing, which I think we're pretty much in agreement, we're going to do that.
Okay. $1,085
then. So I make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second
that.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I'm in favor.
Anyone opposed to that would like to share? Okay. Do you want to mention what you'd like to ask for, Terry, for the additional for the website at this time?
Yeah, I would like to ask for another 9 hours of Debbie's time. We've been trying to put a membership database as part of the website so that members could go in, pay their dues, change their address if necessary, change their phone number. We could have levels of membership so that members could have access to parts of the site that non-members did not have access to, and board members could have like another level of access, so that if we wanted to put things on the website that were not public. So the main advantage of the database is that dunning people would be automatic, thanking people would be quick and mostly automatic. It would take a huge load off of the membership chair. We haven't had a membership chair in years. Now we've really got one.
Yay.
And I'm training her, but she is, her computer skills are not huge. So it's going a little slowly, and if we could we're trying to take some of the pressure off. We're trying to automate some things so that in future we can have board members, we can fill our board. We haven't been able to fill our board.
That's right. So how much per hour is Debbie?
$35. I'm asking for 9 hours.
$315.
Trying to add, I'm running out of fingers.
$315 is correct.
Yeah. We have to also pay sales tax, so it's a little more than that. Even though we're tax exempt in terms of the state of New Mexico, we are not exempt from gross receipts tax for services.
Yep. That's true.
So could I ask for $315 plus tax?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we approve $315 additional website time for Debbie Gutierrez.
$315 in tax?
Oh, yeah, plus sure.
it becomes an extra amount of money, and then and then you end up over budget, and you wonder why.
No, this is well worth the expense.
I agree.
Yes, anything to make it easier for people to participate in the society.
Absolutely. And
as board members, yeah.
So,
the website itself is vastly, vastly improved from what it was before. It's really wonderful now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I heard you say that once before, and just made me happy that you were happy with that. So I make the motion of 315 plus tax additional Debbie Gutierrez time. Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you. One last thing I want to bring up is there was some mention of when these folks that are running for board positions, when they will be announced as winners. I thought it was an interesting question. I mean, they're pretty much already winners because they're running unopposed. But we typically announce that. Does someone want to pick that up, Bernadette or Terry?
Our counter has to complete it. If it could be done in that day, then we announce it that day.
Well, yeah, it'll be announced on the website. We're not going to send out massive email about it, but and then those people will be introduced at the annual meeting on the 24th. And as soon as we can get everybody's all their authorities invested, then they will have full authorities. That takes a little time because we have to meet in person at the bank.
Right.
We have to also have to change over the PayPal, the Secretary of State, and I think those are the major ones. The Attorney General, but that can be done next January when we file a report. But yeah, there's a lot of like passwords and names and to change.
And we have talked about transitional meetings with the new board so that we can share with them some of how we looked at the budget, how things are going thus far, what things that we had wanted to implement that we hadn't been able to, and hopefully they'll pick up some of those projects.
I think that's a really good idea because, you know, I'm a little worried about continuity when you're bringing in all new board members that
I am too. Yeah.
Have the same no concern. Idea how things have been done or run. So
exactly. We're hoping that the future will be brighter for us. you know, these last 5-6 years, we've had a difficult time getting people to run for the board positions, much less volunteer for volunteer positions. So we're trying to make that happen. I think the website is a wonderful addition. I think the strong leadership for these chapter chair folks that we have is a good indication that we're moving in the right direction. We appreciate you all. We appreciate the questions that have been raised. We're hoping that if you have additional questions that you will continue to address those with our president directly and not to the entire board. It gets a little bit crazy at times when we have emails going back and forth and nothing's really very concise and clear. So we want to also make mention to keep the integrity of the board intact by watching how you might interact with others that are not board members that we might interest on into the membership. So we've tried very hard to keep the board together. I was actually at the end of tenure last couple years, and because we didn't have a VP position, I decided to stay on the board. So, and I am one of the folks who signed up for lifetime membership. So I believe in this society. And I do share my views with Scott about, you know, charging, that kind of thing. But I don't have the same perspective that Bill does in regards to these folks that he knows. So we appreciate your concerns and your questions, and especially for being here with us tonight. Bill, have we addressed everything that was of interest for you tonight? I trust. I think maybe we can create an email in the next day or so that can go out to this particular group, just so that we can reiterate some of the ideas that we have come up with tonight.
Okay.
Is there anything else that anyone would like a discussion about?
So Dino, then the email would be about the fees that we're going to pay people. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, just a recap of tonight, a brief recap, so that everyone's on the same page with what we decided.
And that would go out to all the members and all the presenters, I assume.
It would go out to just this group here tonight.
Oh, so it would only go to this group to summarize what we've done tonight.
Right.
Because we lost our note taker, as you know. That's another question that came up. Who's going to take notes at the annual convention? And I was thinking that Civil would take notes because he doesn't actually step down until that conference is over. Would you all agree?
Yes, let's vote him in while he's not here. Yes.
That's a smart woman. Now I don't know how people feel about recording the event. I don't know if people, you know, we could make that option if he's not, you know, if he's not wanting to take notes, but that was something else that had come up earlier in the discussion questions.
I think
my thought is that, please.
I think you should be reminded ahead of time that that would be the expectation since he's still in office. And then if he has a problem, then we can figure out what to do. But really, it is his job.
I would agree. So we'll include that in the notes if everybody's in agreement on that note. Yes, very wonderful. Thank you. Was there something on there about the secretary?
Yes, there's somebody. Let's see who's asking that. I'm not sure.
Someone look for me. Maybe Bill.
Okay. No. There's a question about secretary candidate Winder. I don't know how to pronounce her first name. And she has withdrawn her nomination. So we do not have a secretary.
Yes. So that was, I think, one of the reasons why the question about who would take notes. But I think customarily the outgoing secretary would take notes. I don't think it would be a bit much to ask the incoming secretary if we did have one to take notes. I think you'd all agree. And then the new president and the new board could select someone.
They can decide that afterwards. Yes.
Yeah. They can appoint somebody. Yes.
They can appoint somebody. Yeah. So I'll send an email out. Of course, I'll have the ladies edit that for me. And then maybe Bernadette will send that out in the next couple days or so, tomorrow or Monday, whichever is more convenient for us.
And just to let you guys know, it's a big transition when the new president and the new board steps in. So it doesn't, we're always here, each and every one of us, me, Dino, Terry, to help them transition. When Andy passed the position to me, we stayed for 8 hours during the whole convention to pass all the knowledge and all the information. So I will spend the time with the new president and give him all the information, because there's a lot of stuff that we do outside the norm that we do with the National Federation. So this is a really heavy month for me. I have to send a lot of information to the Federation while they're getting ready for their national convention. So
people forget that, you know, we're just one small group out of the National Federation of State Poetry Societies, and that they have their own sets of rules and regulations that as a state member, we have to follow, whether we like it or not. And that's the way it is. And I mean, I've been a member of the National Federation for 3 decades. So I've been with it a long, long time. And, it's not always perfect. No organization is, but, you know, it works, or you can make it work, you know. Yes. Look for the bright side.
Yes. And as most of you, I'm sure, are aware, that the New Mexico State Poetry Society takes a portion of your dues and pays dues to the National Society on your behalf. Yeah. So you are actually a member of the National Society,
right,
as you are a member of the State Poetry Society. Well, if there's nothing else, I just want to give a heartfelt.
Bernadette's
got more.
Oh. I got one more thing.
Okay.
So along with all these wonderful presenters that we're going to be having for our convention, I also approached Steve Sanders, who has gone to our last conventions and who has done videotapings and recordings and has offered this services for free. So he is willing to do this for this convention as well. So I just wanted to let you know, so in case I still have to meet with him and talk to him, and we still have to meet with our board members here. But I just wanted to let you know that that's a possibility for the state convention as well.
Yeah, and Bernadette, does he do editing of videos?
Yes, he does.
Is that his professional job or whatever?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really wonderful that he's doing that.
Bill was asking about what he gets for national dues. And I know there's a national conference, a poetry contest. We actually fund three of those contests, if I'm correct.
There's usually about 60, 65 contests each year that members can submit to. And there are the very top three or so are fee based, but everything else is free to members, something like that.
And what might interest Bill, because he's got the songwriting and video and stuff, is the Blackberry Peach Contest. And that's a big prize. So that's something that his group can really participate in.
And that's really for spoken word.
Yes.
It's awesome.
There may be other things that National does for us. I'm not aware.
Well, they produce all the bulletins and send out the information, and we used to at least get newsletters from them that we would distribute at meetings and so on. I don't know that they're doing that anymore. I don't know.
So during COVID, they kind of stopped and we're just doing it online and by link, but that's because it's COVID. You know, they could send them to me, but then I would have to try to distribute them somehow.
Yeah.
I've put the link to the national newsletter on the front page, the homepage of our website. And when the contests were open, I put the link to the contest page on the homepage of our website.
And I announced it on social media during the whole time until March 15th. That's when the contest is end. Any other questions for anybody else? I think that I covered everything that I needed to talk. Okay, I think that's it.
Okay, meeting adjourned 7:19.
Thank you guys for all your time and helping us out. Big decisions made here today.
Yeah, more than you know. Thank you so much.
Good work, everybody.
Terry, before we leave, Terry, do I have some new members that I need to know about? I don't need them right this second.
Yeah, you have people who have re-upped.
Okay, well, just send me an email at some point.
Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday, the membership chair is coming back, the new membership chair, and we're working through the rest of the renewals and new members that we've just gotten. And okay. Then I'll be showing her how to send that information to the chapter chairs.
I just don't want to harass somebody that I don't need to.
Oh, come on.
No, yeah, that's true. We're not into gratuitous harassment. But there are a few. And we will be sending that information out on Tuesday.
Okay.
Is it possible for you, Terry, to save a copy of the chat?
Yeah.
Should be.
Okay, thank you all very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
So long, farewell.
Okay.
So Terry, I'll get in touch with you about our follow-up.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a, hi, Bernadette.
I want to ask you a question when you're done here too.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. About follow-up on which thing?
We were going to do a postmortem on the nominating committee and like a chronological thing of please get started here, do this by that. Don't expect anybody to answer a membership email for that, that kind of thing, that kind of stuff that would have been helpful.
Oh yeah. Pick a day, you know, it'd be great if we could do this sometime this month while we're still have it in the head.
This month, it looks really awful for me.
All right.
With my other stuff. So what times do you have? What kind of times do you have?
I am busy Monday morning and Wednesday afternoon. So in a general, and anything else I can accommodate.
Could we look at tentatively, at least look at talking on Monday afternoon, the 19th?
Oh, of April?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, April. You said you wanted to do it this month.
If it's okay with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, we can Zoom if you want, so we can, you know, share some written stuff.
Yeah, let's look
at time in the afternoon. I'm free.
Huh?
Pick a time in the afternoon. I'm free.
2 p.m.
Perfect. Thank you.
2 p.m. Terry. Okay. So we'll look at I'm just gonna put postmortem on there because I know what that means.
Okay.
Okay, dear. Thank you for that. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you.
Meeting. We did it. We did it. You guys did it. Yes.
Thank you.
Good job. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
I remember my two things. There's two things. So when I know we're going to just put on the website who the winners were, do we want to send them a personal email? Congratulations, you won. At least to the winners, you know.
Yes.
Okay.
Before it, you know, if we can do that before I post it on the website, that would be even better. It doesn't have to be a big deal, kind of a, you know.
And we're still meeting tomorrow, Friday, right?
I don't know. Do we need to meet tomorrow?
The only thing I was going to ask for, because I'm not the best on wording, and I really need help replying to Catherine.
Oh,
okay. On her email, and I don't want to, it's copied on Bill Nevins, so I'm going to send it separately and not copied on Bill Nevins. But I need to reply. She didn't send it till Good Friday, and yeah. It's time to reply because I could at least say it was the Easter, the holiday, you know.
For yeah, me. I know. Yeah. Can it be a little later tomorrow? It could be just the two of us. Because Civil is getting a little meetinged out. You know, he wrote that.
I think that's all. I think we mostly discussed everything today, you know, but I do have to send, I think it was Catherine, Southwest Writers asked a question, and that one's easy I can respond to, but I don't want to offend Catherine. I want her to know that this is an exciting thing. This is a great decision. I'll write something out and maybe you can help me polish it up.
Sure.
Because you have a really good twist of words. I'm getting better. I've learned a lot in these many years, but sometimes. So just between me and you, I had some really bad health news presented to me. So my mind's kind of been out of there since yesterday, and I'm going back into the doctor tomorrow, but I'm trying to compose myself and keep my everything together. So I think being quiet was a good choice for me today. Cause I was nervous.
I was worried that you were like,
it wasn't good. It wasn't good the way my doctor presented it. So he called me and he said, He didn't call me personally. He had one of the receptionists who was probably new and didn't know anything. And she goes, ma'am, your chart's black and blue. And I was like, what does that mean? She goes, well, I can't tell you. I'm afraid I'll scare you. And I was like, what in the heck? Now I was scared all night. So I was the first one that showed up at the doctor's this morning. I'm like, don't you ever call me and say something like that.
I don't know what is with some of these doctors, because you get like, I had a test for, I have to get tested periodically for cancer. And I had my test and it says you have test results, but because it's cancer, we're not going to tell you what they are. You have to talk to your doctor to find out what the test. So as soon as you find out that you have a test result having to do with cancer, you're worried. You know, they should just call you. They shouldn't tell you. And like the receptionist shouldn't call you. The doctor should call you.
Well, wait, these tests I ran were on December 23rd. I'm getting notified now.
Oh my God. That's and
guess who they told? It was my granddaughter that answered the phone. And so my granddaughter's only 10. So she goes, Grandma, I think the doctors call you, but I don't know if it was for Papa or for Nana. And I was like, so I calling over there. Were they calling for my husband? Were they calling for me? You know, but apparently they guess they didn't have my cell phone number and nobody was answering the home phone and they couldn't get a hold of me for 3 months.
For 3 months? Come on. That's no.
Yeah. My boss told me to change my doctor.
Yeah. There's a real problem with doctors here or doctors now. I don't know whether it's something because my husband never practiced like that. My husband would spend after work, he would spend however long he needed to spend calling his patients with test results. He never told the nurse to call with test results or the receptionist, God forbid, the receptionist calls with test results. What are they going to say if the patient has a question? Anyway, I get worked up when this topic comes up because I know the sacrifice that our family made so that he could be really good to his patients. I mean, he would come home some nights and make 3 hours worth of phone calls. You know, I would give him his dinner and he'd sit in a chair and he'd make phone calls because patients had questions or patients had test results that needed to be reported. But maybe for 24 hours, it didn't happen, but 3 months, that's ridiculous.
So now they would run more tests again tomorrow. That's what I'm going to go do. And I said, you know what? Maybe my test results will be better because I've changed my life in these last 3 months.
Yeah, and you've changed a lot.
But
in good ways, except I don't want you to disappear. I'm afraid you're going to lose so much weight. There won't be any Bernadette left. You know?
But it's for my health. That's a good thing. So, apparently I had another silent heart attack. This is what they told me this morning. So I'm having these heart attacks. I didn't even know. I just think I'm so tired and so sick. You know?